Welcome to Fresnolandia. I'm Jordan Maddox.
I'm Donnie Bergstrom.
We have a fantastic show for you today. We're going to start by answering a question from Instagram. And then Donnie's going to do a quick promo on the voter guide that's coming out this week. And then we have a conversation for you with Mona Cummings, who directs Tree Fresno. This week, we received a question about the opening of Hotel Fresno. If you haven't been paying attention to the news, there's a large affordable housing project that was just opened downtown. And one of the questions we got from Instagram was, will this make a dent in our affordable housing crisis here in Fresno? So Donnie, will it make a dent?
It will make a small dent, but let me start with the facts. So Hotel Fresno was a historic building downtown. It's 112 years old. It was recently opened this last week as mixed income housing. It has 81 affordable homes in it. It's a beautiful building. Everyone should go check it out when they're downtown. It's on
what
Broadway.
What kind of size are we talking about, some of these units? Are they like one, two bedrooms?
It's both.
Okay.
It's mixture. Both. It's a mix. It's meant for professionals who want to live downtown, small families, et cetera. And it's been a project that has literally been over a decade, maybe 15 years in the making.
What took so long?
Financing. There's a couple of things. Financing, because it's a $36 million project, and most affordable housing projects have no less than five different funding sources, and you have to time the financing all to happen at the same time. So it's quite a bit of alchemy that the developers have to put together, and it's very difficult. And on top of it, it's a beautiful building. It's on the National Register of Historic Places, which means that the level of rehabilitation that the building has to undergo is just really high standard.
I'm sure there's some permission structures you have to go through in order to make changes with historic buildings.
Absolutely. And it was vacant for a couple of decades, and so there was a lot of damage to the inside and a lot of things had to be repaired. So it took a long time, but we're really happy to get to the finish line. But in terms of, will this actually meet the demand that we have for affordable housing? I think there were 2,000 people on the waiting list to get into this building. And there's a study that comes out every year by the Coalition for Affordable Housing that basically shows that Fresno County as a whole needs about 35 to 40,000 new affordable housing units in order to meet the demand. So 81 units, 35,000, drop in the bucket. Really happy to have the project.
So it's symbolic, but maybe not in practical terms, a huge lever for moving our affordable housing crisis.
It's not. And yet, I think we're on track this year in the city of Fresno to build maybe 400 affordable homes, which, if you look in the grand scheme of things, is good. Like, it's better than we do most years. And there's this structural issue where we're never building even remotely enough to what the need is.
So it's the fall, which means we're close to election season, and we've got a lot of important races. Fresnoland is rolling out a voter guide. Donnie, what can we expect from the voter guide?
Yeah, we love putting on this voter guide every election season. We've done it for the last 3 years in a row. We've won awards for a voter guide, and why should you look at our voter guide? First of all, as much as everyone is really caring about the Trump-Harris race, we don't care about that. We care about local races. We care about the school bonds, the city council, the board of supervisors. And what we try to do for our readers is really do our best to distinguish the candidates, not just based on vibes. They would prefer to make this all about the vibes, but we try to get really deep as well, much as we can, into their policy positions on issues that actually impact residents.
How big is the variance between candidates' policy positions? They say sometimes in local races, there's a lot more alignment around certain issues and a lot less variance relative to national politics.
That definitely is true. In Fresno County, you don't really see as much of a conservative-liberal dichotomy as much, or definitely not Republican-Democrat dichotomy. You really see the splits around issues around labor, development, affordable housing, approaches to homelessness. You might see some differences. You might see some national issues creep in. Some supervisors have decided that they don't think climate change is real or that's something that they should be addressing. Some supervisors do think that's a real issue. And so you see more of a small government, big government.
Can you give an example of a particular race where we see disparities between perspectives, where if you vote one way, it's going to lead to potentially wholly different outcomes?
I would say, so the county supervisor, Fresno County Supervisor, District 3 race, you have Sal Quintero, who's the incumbent, and you have Luis Chavez, who is the challenger. He's a city council member for the city of Fresno. And Luis actually used to work for Sal and was on his, was his assistant for many years. And they used to be close friends, and that has obviously changed. They're running against each other now. And on the surface, they seem very similar. They are running on being very constituent friendly, being responsive to concerns in the neighborhood. I would say that Sal has a more, he's not very policy centered. He thinks that's the role of the staff at the county. The staff develop policy, he makes decisions on that policy, but he doesn't really get into the weeds and directing the staff to do different things. Luis does take a little bit more of a stance, but you know, does Luis think that we should have a housing first policy and Sal doesn't to homelessness? No, they're aligned more or less on that. It's more of their approach and how they address that and what they see their role is as an elected official to get involved in what staff does.
Okay. And maybe what's a tight race that we're going to see this fall?
County District 2, the Brandau-Bredefeld race. So that's incumbent supervisor Steve Brandau, Fresno City Council member Gary Bredefeld running to unseat him. That's the district that's like Vic Garden, Northwest Fresno, a lot of the county islands. Again, that is a really tough race to distinguish policy differences.
Yeah, that was would be my question. I don't. They seem similar versions of the same coin.
Again, it's and they don't. I think because they are both very staunch conservatives, they're both very aligned with the right and law enforcement and a lot of the sort of interests that come with that. Where you see differences might be in their willingness to talk to, like Steve Brandau has tried to make a name for himself as, I may not agree with you, but I'll take a meeting with anyone. Mm-hmm. Gary Bredefeld doesn't necessarily take that position. He has actually declined to participate in Fresno Land's candidate forums. He won't talk to us. He doesn't think we're worth his time. Okay. And so I think that's where you see distinctions. But in terms of a really strong, significant policy difference, we have yet to see one emerge.
I know I'm excited for election season, but also looking forward to not having to watch some of these candidate commercials.
I hate them.
They're some of the worst. Adam Gray and what's,
I can't watch anymore.
Yeah, what's his name? What's the other guy's name?
Oh, John Duarte.
John Duarte. Yeah, mm-hmm. Adam Gray and John Duarte commercials. I'm done. And they're almost like just back to back to back between sections. And I really only watch TV when I'm watching the 49ers, which we won't talk about that today. It's a bad
too
day.
Sad.
It's a bad day for that. But
I just don't understand why we get so many of the Gray Duarte commercials when that's really, it's Western Fresno County to a certain extent, but it's not really getting the Fresno Metro residents in any way.
Okay. I'm excited for the voter guide and you should definitely use it. It's great to be informed when you show up to that polling place and you can really understand the nuances between your choices. I think it's going to be a great resource for you all this fall. Today we're going to be talking about trees, and we've got a special guest with us. Mona Neandro Cummings is joining us from Tree Fresno. There's some big citywide plans to improve our canopy that covers our city to reduce some of the heat that we experience during what is now an extended summer, apparently through October, is what we're going to expect to start seeing in some ways. Thank you so much for joining us.
Hey, it's my pleasure. Thanks for having me.
Before we get into the trees, I'm just going to tell our audience why we want to talk about trees right now for a minute. So if for those of you who actually live in Fresno, you'll know it's been our second hottest summer on record, almost first hottest. The first was in 2000. And we're at 63 days of triple digit heat, which isn't a record, but it's close to being a record. It's definitely more than we've seen. And we know that climate change is creating obviously a lot more extreme heat in Fresno. And the conversation that we've seen in local government has been mostly focused on responding to that heat, opening more cooling centers, mostly for people who are unhoused or for the elderly. The city has done a lot to open the pools, have more splash pads. All of that is great. We're happy to see it. But there is a conversation that's happening in other cities across the U.S. and globally around how do you more proactively cool the city, which is really a conversation mostly about trees, which is why we wanted to talk to Mona. So Mona, the city earlier this year adopted, I think, the first ever urban forestry plan that they've ever had, 40,000 trees within the next 30 years. And you are in the weeds figuring out how we actually meet ambitious goals around tree planting. And what do you see as some of the big barriers that we have right now to making sure that we are planting a lot more trees than we currently have?
Sure, thank you. I commend the city for actually creating a plan of expanding the urban forest across the city of Fresno, and it's much needed, like you mentioned before. There are a lot of challenges with planting trees. Tree Fresno has had a lot of success over the last 40 years planting large canopy, drought-tolerant trees. There are several keys to successful planting. I think in regards, if we're addressing the city of Fresno itself, we're looking at city properties, anything from street trees to parks to areas that are controlled by the city. For Tree Fresno, we're a small nonprofit, and we often partner with the city of Fresno, providing resources that are usually funded through the state of California. Typically, since about 2017, we've been receiving funding through the California Climate Investments. So what we do is we work with Public Works, the city of Fresno, to determine where we need to be planting. This funding is typically targeted, it absolutely is targeted at what's considered disadvantaged areas of the city of Fresno, areas that are lacking in terms of tree equity, not having access to beautiful urban tree canopy, the expansiveness that we have, for instance, in North Fresno. So we work with the city to determine what parks are ready to have trees, what streets we can target to have irrigation accessible for our trees. And when you asked challenges, irrigation. As a friend of mine says, water starts the party. And when it comes to trees, that's absolutely the case. So it's a combination of location, so prioritizing where we're going to plant next, getting through permitting processes, and then making sure that there is designated irrigation to each of those trees so that they survive.
Especially when they're younger, right? They need a lot more irrigation.
Yes.
And how does maintenance work with this? Is because younger trees need more attention? Is this the city? Is Tree Fresno? Is it a combination of who's maintaining them early on?
It's a combination in the beginning because there's typically a 3-year span of the grant. And as funding runs out after that period of time. So Tree Fresno tries to provide input, check on the trees on a quarterly basis, but we work with our partners, whether it's the city, whether it's a school district, whether it's a nonprofit partner or a business, we make sure that even before we start the planting process, that they understand that in the long run, they are responsible for keeping these trees alive and maintaining these trees into the future.
Something that I see a lot, and I'd love for you to comment on this, is I have trees in my house too, and they need to be pruned. And sometimes the default position is to over prune. Like I have a fuzzy dog, and I could lightly groom him and then take him to every 2 weeks forever, or I could have them cut his hair real short in order for me to not have to go back to the groomers. And so I oftentimes see around Fresno, I would maybe classify it as over pruning, so you prune less often. And I guess this is more of a preventative question because we do have tree canopies, but sometimes pruning can be an issue.
Oh, it definitely is an issue. So that's part of upkeep of trees. There is, unfortunately, you are witnessing there's lack of expertise in terms of pruning large canopy trees. Sometimes I've heard that perhaps there are companies that are started that are not necessarily versed in the principles of arborists.
Yeah.
So you're seeing what I would describe, because I can see it in your eyes, it's topping,
yeah,
which is very aggressive and it's very damaging to the tree. So the tree responds terribly to it, and over a period of years, not very many years, will eventually die from that stress. So it's really important when you're talking to a tree service, a tree contractor, to see what input that they have from a certified arborist to do that kind of work. I know that the city utilizes a contractor and they are arborists. They should be conducting their tree care and maintenance under those principles, but often we see individual homeowners who will hire a tree service, usually dependent on price. Yeah. And I would urge those homeowners to look around and again ask those questions that will allow them to have better tree service so that tree can thrive into the future and not have to be taken down too soon. Because if you do pay very little money and the tree is hacked up and dies, it's extremely expensive to remove a tree. It can be several thousand dollars to remove a tree out of your yard.
Yeah.
I think most people, at least this, I'm going to just say myself, don't understand whose responsibility the street trees are. And when I bought my house a little over a decade ago, I live on a very beautiful tree-lined street, and it has nice street trees. I had no idea that it was my responsibility to water, to prune, very expensive. Who's making sure that people know how to take care of their trees and what responsibility they have to do that?
That's actually a very good question. What I do know about street trees, the one in front of your house where you know it's on the City of Fresno property, is that you can pull a permit to plant a tree. You can pull a permit to take out a tree, even service a tree. They are on a cycle, but it's a 10-year pruning cycle. So that's where mm-hmm. you may need service to your tree before within that 10-year time frame. The water is your responsibility. And that seems to be typical in many cities.
Like a mature tree. That's just, I have friends that live on some of these blocks that Donnie's describing, mm-hmm. and they have like large mature trees. How much water do they actually need?
It depends on the conditions, but right. I would say giving a tree like that a nice deep water, like even just say you have a hose you can take out to a large tree out there and watering it during the time frame that it's okay for you to utilize water in the city, at maybe like 20 to 30 minutes, like trying to get it to be well saturated so that it can percolate down to its roots. Sometimes you can put a ring around it or some sort of designated irrigation, but giving it any extra water as opposed to none will be very useful. You can use gray water as well, yeah. so you don't have to feel badly about that. If you see a tree struggling near your home, I would urge you to just give it some water.
Okay.
If people have ideas for where they want to see more trees in their neighborhood, who should they talk to?
They can go to both to the City of Fresno through Public Works, and online for the City of Fresno, Public Works does have the permitting process and urban forestry information there. They can also go to Tree Fresno, and we have maps where they can request trees, or they can just send to info@treefresno.org mm-hmm. can send a little information, and we can look at that as part of our identifying areas that perhaps qualify for some of our grants for planting trees. We respond to nearly every inquiry about trees, even if we don't have the ability to service it or don't have the exact answer that you're looking for. We do try to respond to that.
And what neighborhoods in Fresno are most in need of trees and a stronger canopy to cover the surface?
It is South Central, Southeast, Southwest Fresno. Currently, Tree Fresno has significant funding through the San Joaquin Air Pollution Control District, or Valley Air. And that is actually planting in a designated called AB617, and that's based on according to air quality. So the intention is to improve air quality in these regions by bringing more tree canopy to these areas. So we have both a residential tree planting program in South Central Fresno, and then also a program where we're planting with the city, with businesses, hopefully getting more trees in parks and schools. On the website at treefresno.org, you can actually visit Adopt a Tree, and it will tell you all about that programming.
Why do we have such a disparity between South Fresno neighborhoods and North Fresno neighborhoods when it comes to trees?
Historically, we didn't make the space for trees. So I think we actually learned over time. As we know, in the Valley, there weren't actually that many people. Mm-hmm. And then over 100 years ago, we started moving in lots of people. And now the number we use throughout the Valley, Fresno, Madera, Kings, and Tulare, is 2 million people. So when you move in people, you need to plant more trees. But at the beginning, when we were setting up cities here, there was more concern about business and sidewalks and a park here and there, but there weren't the allocations of space for large canopy trees that we need today. And we see that more as we've developed north in Fresno. Mm-hmm. So there's been more of an emphasis on, okay, what's that quality of life look like? We are currently going back to, as I mentioned, South Central, Southeast, Southwest, and there are some really great trees on in those areas of town, but they're kind of coming to the end of their lifespan. Mm. So we need to look at succession for those trees, planting the right species, because we need to have species that will endure the harsh environment, the heat that is, it's much hotter than it has been in decades before. In the future is looking like we're going to be several degrees hotter than we are now. All of that's critical. We need to increase the shade so that people have something that cools their yards, their streets, lowers their utility bills, and just makes life more pleasant.
I know there's some lore in my neighborhood. I live in like a older neighborhood in Fresno. My neighborhood was built out in the 1920s. But one of my neighbors cared a lot about trees and so worked several decades ago to rebuild the sidewalks and the street. So we have really wide park strips, beautiful tree canopy, but it was like his organizing that got it done. How much do you think that people have to take that onus upon themselves if they want to rebuild their streets to have a better canopy? Because a lot of the...
They're too narrow.
It's too narrow. You can't plant really... Yeah, you can't plant major trees in most park strips in town. How do you do that?
I actually, I absolutely believe in community action in that sense. So Tree Fresno can be out there planting trees. We do what we do, but it makes a huge difference within our city to actually have residents who show up at the right community meetings and say something about what they would like to see in their neighborhood, the improvements that they would like to see, the collaborations like with the city to be able to make those things happen. There was a time when I remember speaking with the mayor a couple of years ago on a proposed grant, and that was taking out and reconfiguring an area of the city and putting in areas where we could plant larger trees and actually some smaller plants in areas. And he was very open to that. It's easiest when they're already configuring a neighborhood. So if you see in your neighborhood that something's on the horizon, it could be just said out loud in 3 to 5 years, there's going to be something happening to your neighborhood, to where there's different medians, to where there's housing complexes in the area where they're going to be required to actually put in landscaping, then show up and actually talk to your city, your council representative. That's the first part. And then that person could help connect you to a proper meeting.
I know a recent example of where that happened, there's a park under construction in the South Tower District off of Elizabeth and Broadway. And I think the original plans didn't have any street trees. And some of the organizers in that neighborhood were like, whoa, can we redesign the plans and make sure we get trees?
There we go.
Yeah. And they were able to get it and they worked with Public Works and now it's part of the plans. But I think most people don't realize that you can do that. Mm-hmm. You can absolutely do that.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Public participation maybe isn't considered an option here. How can people get involved with Tree Fresno if they're interested?
I'd urge them to follow the Facebook page, Tree Fresno. We're very active on there. It shows pictures of our tree plantings. It shows a call to action when we need volunteers. It also allows them to communicate with us through Messenger. Obviously, you can go to the website as well, but it seems to be easier on social media these days. I definitely would urge you to pay attention to how the city commits to an urban greening plan, to the future of the city. Maybe one day we'll have an urban forester. There are other cities our size that actually have someone in charge of determining what is that plan for expanding the urban tree canopy. How can we reach those neighborhoods that need canopy the most? How can we continue to serve the rest of the city where they're also willing to host trees? So that community input is critical, but absolutely get in touch with us at Tree Fresno, join the newsletter mailing list, and we send out announcements and periodic emails that or newsletters that give people an idea of what we're up to and what they can participate in.
Yeah, awesome. And especially in this election season with all these candidate forums, ask them about trees. Yeah. I think that's a great way to get our public officials to publicly commit to continuing to support building our canopy.
Absolutely. Thank you.
We're going to close with our favorite segment, which is what we're loving this week. Donnie, what are you loving this week?
I just binge watched The Secret Lives of Mormon Wives on Hulu.
Good God.
It was excellent. Highly recommend.
Tease me. Lure me in.
I can't. I have multiple friends who I've tried to convince to watch it, and they just couldn't do it. It's just messy. It's fascinating. They're really weirdly relatable. I love the drama. I can't put it down.
Okay. Mona, what are you loving this week?
I love the fact that I have 5 cats at home who were all adopted because they were coming from difficult places. Tree Fresno is located on the campus of Fresno State, and sometimes there are cats that are roaming around the campus. I think it's the same in the tower, right? Is that I adopted a couple of cats from there, and I just really enjoy going home and being met at the door like I'm a rock star. So I'm a big fan of adoption, whether it's cats or dogs or other animals that need a home. And I'm a big fan of those people who are willing to take them in their homes.
5 cats. What are their names?
Yeah. So we have Mo, we have Smokey, we have Delilah, we have Pig, and we have Carrie Jo. Named after my best friend.
Love Fantastic. Them. What I'm loving this week is a bad movie. I'm a movie nerd. I'm a film nerd. And this past week, we got a new movie from Francis Ford Coppola, who's one of the most famous American directors, directed The Godfather and other really important movies. And he's been working on a project since, I think he conceived of it in the 1970s, for this movie called Megalopolis, which just came out this past week. And it's probably one of the strangest movies I've ever seen. It takes place in kind of a future but not futuristic city at the same time. There's no cell phones, but they're moving things with their hands and creating weird technology. It was terrible. I've heard that there are screenings in LA where people were laughing out loud at not funny scenes. But what it's really good at and what I'm loving about it is it's a great conversation piece, like how just given how absurd it is to just be able to talk about what people think. It's been a conversation piece in a lot of group texts this week for me and what people thought. And yeah, it's one of the strangest and most interesting movies I've seen in a long time. So I'm loving talking about it. I didn't really love watching it, but I'm loving talking about it. This has been Fresnolandia. I'm Jordan Maddox.
I'm Donnie Bergstrom. And this podcast was recorded at Sun Stereo Warehouse in downtown Fresno. Audio editing and mixing was done by Jordan Maddox. Our lead image comes from Vaughn Ballinan, and our song comes from Stateless Rat.